Chapter 10, The Obvious Secret.
The mind is a good enemy for one who does not master it. The mind is the best friend for one who masters it.
Bhagavad Gita.
Entering the sacred cave, Bhagavan walked through its labyrinths for a long time, moving from passages to huge halls, from there to narrow gaps where one could barely squeeze through. He swam across underground lakes, flowing in the swift currents from underground streams where, at times, he had to hold his breath for 2 to 3 minutes to get through a narrow point, where the stream completely filled the space with water, leaving no room for air. He walked through spaces speckled with thin and huge stalactites and stalagmites. An unknown power led him until he found himself in a vast hall of the underground labyrinth, entirely covered with mountain crystals, brightly sparkling in the rays of a mysterious light, resembling a large neon lamp, powered by some unknown energy. Here, he was greeted by the great hierarch of the Circle of Kailash Priests, El Morya. He was dressed in a white cloak that reached down to his feet, and on his head, he wore a white turban.
"Here you are, my brother," he said, welcoming Bhagavan. "Climbing the spiritual summit is not that simple. Not everyone is ready to believe that the summit exists. Here you are in the Trans-Himalayas, the spiritual heart of our planet. Go. Rigdon Japo is waiting for you."
And El Morya led Bhagavan into a vast hall with an elevation in the form of a steeped pyramid, 15 meters high, where the throne of the Lord of the Circle of Kailash Priests towered. He was sitting, wearing a 12-rayed golden crown, sparkling with precious stones. He was clad in a purple mantle, and his face expressed detached wisdom. On each step of Rigdon Japo's pyramid stood 2 adepts of the Circle of Kailash Priests, one on the right, the other on the left. Holding large glowing crystals in his hands, Bhagavan approached the pyramid, knelt down, and in an earthly bow, expressed his deep reverence to the Lord of the Circle of Kailash Priests.
"So you have come, my son," said Rigdon Japo in a thunderous voice, and the resounding echo reflected his voice off the walls of the hall. "Accept the great knowledge of the Circle of Kailash Priests into your heart. In very ancient times, when a new planetary being, Earth, was just forming, and the news about it spread to all corners of our universe, God sent ancient beings dwelling closer to the center of the galaxy, where there is more life, love, and consciousness, to this planet to make it habitable and accelerate the path of evolution here, in this remote corner of the universe. These great beings, the first to appear in the galaxy, are moving plants, earthly little men feeding on light and water. They flew here and created life on Earth, populating it with plants, and then they flew away for many years. When plant life evolved," Rigdon Japo continued his story, "millions of years later, God sent other beings here, more resembling insects, who populated it with insects. Then came creatures that populated the Earth with fish, amphibians, and reptiles. Finally, beings resembling us arrived and populated it with animals. And so, on Earth, 4 chains of evolution appeared. These are plants that, at the end of their evolution, become earthly little men. Insects that, at the end of their evolution, become little men resembling elves. Cold-blooded creatures that, at the end of their development, become intelligent dragons, and mammals that become human. Originally, spirits of the mineral kingdom also lived on Earth, whose physical bodies are mountains, rivers, seas, clouds, rocks, and fire. They too follow the path of development and evolution. And when the time came for the transformation of the most rapidly developing mammals, extraterrestrials resembling humans, through crossbreeding, endowed some of the most developed species of animals with their genes. This is how intelligent animals, the proto-humans, came into existence. There were different kinds, giants and dwarfs, and ones just like us,
Rigdon Joppo said, and Bhagavan listened with amazement to his words, echoing throughout the vast underground hall of the Trans-Himalayas.
Extraterrestrials taught them to use fire, bows, stone knives, to tan hides, build huts, and set traps for animals. When rational humans fully developed and spread across the earth, they came back and once again carried out crossbreeding, endowing humans with their gene pool to make rational humans spiritually evolving. This is even mentioned in the Bible in the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So, in the Bible, it is said that after some time of this crossbreeding, when spiritual beings started to emerge from rational humans, extraterrestrials built temples and altars, astronomical observatories, and statues of gods that have survived to this day. They taught people religion, but, as stated in the Bible, God repented and decided to destroy them. This is said to imply that not all people were successful in instilling spiritual inclination. Those who did not acquire it were eradicated through floods, fire, and other means. Giants and dwarves were among them, and, as stated in the Bible, only Noah and his family remained, meaning only spiritual people capable of development remained. They later populated the earth. After that, extraterrestrials left the planet and began observing the development of humanity from afar to better study the brain and body of the new human and the possibilities of spiritual growth in such a body and with such a brain. Some extraterrestrials incarnated into human bodies on Earth. Among them were Krishna, Buddha, Christ, Zoroaster, Muhammad, and many other great religious masters of humanity who demonstrated that development in the physical body of a human is possible, and spiritual self-realization is possible with a human brain. They also guided the development of humans, a unified center for regulating the spiritual evolution of the earth was established. The Circle of Kailash Priests, which telepathically influences the evolution of humanity. But now, a crucial moment has come in the history of the earth. Most people could not follow the path of perfection, and they brought the planet to the brink of destruction.
The spiritual powers of people are still too weak to resist the imperfections of the majority. Therefore, in the near future, extraterrestrials will appear on Earth again, and all spiritually undeveloped people committing evil will be exterminated. Only spiritually evolving individuals will remain, ushering in the era of 1,000 years of goodness, when there will be no evil, violence, diseases, wars, or heavy labor. People, under the guidance of the circle of Kailash priests and extraterrestrials, will ascend to a new stage of evolution. This is the second coming of Christ, as written in the Gospel. This is the golden age awaited by believers of all times and nations. This is Armageddon, the battle between the powers of light and darkness. Evil does not exist, but there is imperfection, ignorance, which is as dangerous as what you call evil. Rigdon Japo said, concluding his speech. Bhagavan bowed to him in earthly reverence, thanking him for the great knowledge. The adept standing on the steps of the throne chanted the mantra, Aum, praising the divine power of wisdom and knowledge. The Lord of the Circle of Kailash Priests rose from his throne and, extending his hands, blessed Bhagavan for conveying great knowledge to humanity. Golden rays of grace flowed from his hands onto the head of the new Savior of humanity. Rise to accomplish true deeds, Rigdon Japo uttered. Bhagavan stood up and, in reverent silence, followed El Morya into another hall of the underground city of Trans-Himalaya. In the center of this round hall stood a huge sphere made of mountain crystals, and benches for the hierarchs of the Circle of Kailash Priests were placed near its walls. They sat around this sphere, concentrating intently on something visible only to them on the smooth, convex surface of the crystal. Their noble and wise faces expressed compassion and determination to help every human. The hall's domes were dome-shaped and extended upward by 50 meters. At their very top was a bright crystal emitting light that illuminated the entire hall. Looking at those present, Bhagavan recognized Saint Germain, Kuthumi, Maha Chohan, Buddha, Christ, Zoroaster, Krishna, Muhammad, and many other great hierarchs of the Circle of Kailash Priests. Together with El Morya, they took their places in front of the huge crystal sphere. It was time to begin universal meditation. The hierarchs focused on the crystal sphere, transmitting their assistance and support to all spiritual people on Earth through it, sending them benevolent thoughts and a state of grace. Faces of disciples appeared on the sphere's surface, calling for help from the spiritual powers of the cosmos, from the Circle of Kailash Priests. All hierarchs exerted the full power of their will, love, and knowledge to help those unfortunate beings seeking assistance on their spiritual path. Each person was given help, health, harmony in family and work, the unfolding of strengths and abilities, as much as they believed and opened themselves to the powers of light, through their good thoughts and deeds for the Circle of Kailash Priests, and for the salvation of misguided humanity lost in ignorance. After 2 hours of meditation, the hierarchs raised their hands to the sky, drawing in new cosmic energy to replace what they had spent on the salvation of humanity.
Earthly man has not fully mastered his mind, said Maha Chohan, addressing Bhagavan. Now the minds of many people function only as a memory-storing society, and parents' experience and settings, and as an imagination that sometimes produces strange monsters, inflating animal instincts, anger, fear, and passion to incredible proportions. From this arises all the vices and sins of man. From here comes his excessive jealousy and greed, egoism, the desire to destroy and disrupt everything that does not conform to his ideas. From this imagination arises wars and revolutions. It kindles the fires of inquisitions and raises the swords of jihad and crusades. In a rudimentary state, many people have logical, constructive thinking. It is the prerogative of a few. Even fewer people possess intuitive foresight, the highest mental function. To develop the minds of people, you, our brother Bhagavan, need to teach them Dharana.
Maha Chohan continued.
A concentration of attention on spiritual objects, which can be mantras, magic spells, prayers, yantras, spiritual images, icons, and chakras. Spiritual centers of a person. A person must learn not to give power to his imagination, not to immerse himself in the setting of memory given to him by ignorant people. He must be able to concentrate for a long time. This is what will help him master his mind and develop immense powers and abilities within himself. He must realize the terrible power of memory and imagination over him. It is the setting of memory that do not allow him to break out of the vicious rut created by parents and society. And his imagination is exploited by instincts, politicians, priests, advertisers who, through books, newspapers, radio and television, manipulate imagination, forcing him to do only what is beneficial to them and harmful and unnecessary to the individual. Everyone on the path of spiritual self-development must realize that they have been turned into zombies, and they must reject the influences of parents, society, politicians, and priests in order to cast off these invisible shackles woven from suggestions and illusions,
said Maha Chohan. The hierarchs nodded in agreement, expressing solidarity with their faces full of compassion and wisdom.
Where should people start practicing Dharana?
Bhagavan asked.
It is best to start it with counting your breaths, said Kathumi, remembering that each breath glorifies the Lord, for the breath is always with a person, and at any convenient moment, he can feel and count it. Then, following the teachings of the Circle of Kailash Priests, the disciples should focus on the mantra, Aha Shambhu Itahakum, pronouncing it with maximum strength, trust, and integrity with their entire being, contemplating or visualizing the image of the Master, feeling how a stream of divine power and grace flows from him to their heart.
By practicing this, they will develop an unknown power within themselves, with the help of which, in their time, extraterrestrials built pyramids and gigantic structures, moving huge stone blocks through the air with the power of their concentrated thoughts.
materializing colossal statues of the gods. Let this knowledge be given to humanity,
Kathumi concluded his speech.
Bhagavan raised his hands, concentrated on them, and flames flared between his palms, emitting fragrant smoke, and then flowers began to scatter throughout the vast hall, showering the great hierarchs with their petals. Let the power of Dharana be given to worthy disciples, he said, and all the hierarchs unanimously uttered.
So be it.
Few will be among the chosen, said Christ. The rest will face incarnation on lower planets, but they will once again live in the form of cave people,
from whose level they have not risen to spirituality.
Hitlers and Stalins will meet at the watering hole, chasing each other with clubs. Thousands of years will pass before they rise to the level of the spiritually developing humans. Nevertheless, spiritual people in the 21st century will live in a new spiritual world that will arise on our earth. Truly, I tell you, the current generation will witness the kingdom of heaven here, and we must save more people. Let the kingdom of heaven be found by the worthy.
The hierarchs responded with a unanimous,
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org.